Good morning. This is Kevin Carlisle, and I'm the minister of the First Christian Church in Vancouver, Washington. And the scripture passage for this morning comes from Genesis chapter 50, verses 14 through 22. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the gods of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Then he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his in his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. So I want to talk today about the life of Joseph. Many of you know this story. It's a favorite in children's Bible stories. We hear the story when Joseph is a young man, a very young man, about his coat of many colors. He was a favorite of his father. He had 11 brothers, and he also was a favorite of God's, and he had dreams, and no one at that point in his life really understood that God had a plan for him. And he told his brothers and his father the dreams, and of course they found him to be kind of obnoxious, and he got on their nerves, and in fact his brothers began to hate him, despise him. They were jealous of him because of him being his father's favorite and his father making him this special coat of many colors. And you know the story of how one day he was with his father, and his father said, "Go to your brothers and find them. They're out with the sheep. And just tell me, come back and tell me, give me a report on how they're doing." So Joseph went, and he finally found them. But when they saw him coming from afar off, they started plotting to kill him. And the older brother, Reuben, intervened and said, "Well, let's don't kill him. That makes our life too complicated." This is my translation. "Let's just throw him into a cistern or a pit and go from there." So that's what they did. Then apparently Reuben left, and the others are sitting down having lunch, and they see this group of Ishmaelites coming. And Judah knows that they're still thinking about killing Joseph. The other brothers are. So Judah says, "Hey, instead of killing Joseph, why don't we sell him to these Ishmaelites?" So they pulled Joseph out of the pit, and they sell him for 20 shekels. Well, Reuben comes back and goes to the pit and looks in, and he's horrified because he was planning on rescuing Joseph from the pit, but Joseph's not there. So they all have to come up with a plan. They take the coat of many colors that they had taken off Joseph before they threw him in the pit. and they put blood on it, blood of a lamb. And then they took it to their father and told their father that Joseph had died, been killed by a wild animal. Meanwhile, while his father's grieving, Joseph gets taken by the Ishmaelites into Egypt. And we can see how God works within these tragedies in Joseph's life to make his purposes known. But it's not apparent at that point. But we know that Egypt played an important role in the nation of Israel. So Joseph goes to Egypt, and the Ishmaelites sell Joseph to Potiphar, who's like a right-hand man to Pharaoh, like the king of Egypt. And Joseph gets trusted by Potiphar because he's trustworthy. And it says God is with Joseph and God prospers Joseph. But there's just one problem, and that's Potiphar's wife. And she wants to have an affair with Joseph. But Joseph refuses because of his faith. He stays true to his faith and to his loyalty to his master, to Potiphar. But when he flees, she grabs his garment, and then she calls the men who were outside in and says Joseph had attacked her. That's what she tells him. And when Potiphar finds this out, he's very angry, and he puts Joseph in Pharaoh's prison. And through a series of events, Joseph eventually gets out of prison. God supernaturally helps him because Joseph has this gift of being able to interpret dreams. And he had interpreted dreams for a couple other prisoners, and one of them was the cupbearer. And this cupbearer was supposed to tell the king, the Pharaoh, about Joseph and put in a good word for him. But he forgot. And it was like 2 years later that he finally remembered, when Pharaoh was having dreams but couldn't interpret them. At this point, Joseph is 30 years old. He'd been in prison that long, and we're told that the Lord was with him during that whole time. So he comes before Pharaoh, and he interprets the dream, and he ends up being in charge of all of Egypt as far as their food and doling it out. And this all came about because Joseph interpreted the dreams that the Pharaoh had as being God's warning to him about a coming famine. And because of the preparation that they were able to make due to Joseph's interpretations of the dreams, Pharaoh trusted him and put him in charge. And eventually, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to get food. And through a long series of events, you can read about it in Genesis, Joseph is reconciled with his brothers. And it's a wonderful time. But when his father dies, the brothers become fearful because they remember the evil they did to Joseph. And they think, now we have no barrier between us and Joseph. Joseph was maybe waiting for our father to die so that he could kill us. So they go to Joseph and they say, our father, he wanted us to tell you that it's his desire that you would forgive us. Who knows if he actually did say that, but that's what they say to Joseph. And Joseph weeps And he says, I'm going to take care of you and your children for as long as you're with us in Egypt. We're going to be a family together, is basically what he said. So what are we to make of this man named Joseph? Joseph says to his brothers, you meant it for evil when you threw me into that pit and then sold me into slavery. But God meant it for good. We see over and over how there's the little picture of what's going on with Joseph. And then there's the big picture of how God fits Joseph's life into the big picture. And we see over and over how the Lord is redeeming situations that are very hard and very difficult. And some of those situations, Joseph has no control over. Joseph, yeah, he was a little bit obnoxious, maybe deserved to be, put in his place by his brothers, but not to be treated like he was, not to be thrown into a pit, not to be sold into slavery. He didn't deserve that. And when Potiphar's wife was trying to have an affair with him, he was not cooperating. And when he was blamed, it wasn't true. And so he's thrown into prison, and it's not even his fault. And he's there for 13 years. Still serving God. And it says that God prospered him even in prison. The prison guard trusted him, just like Potiphar had, and he was put in charge of things. And he was able to minister and interpret dreams. The Lord, it says, was with him, and the Lord loved him those 13 years. But God had a plan. Potiphar's wife, she meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In fact, the position that Joseph got was above the position of Potiphar. So Joseph became Potiphar's boss. Joseph became the fulfillment of his dream to his brothers. Because his dream was that they were going to come and bow down before him at some point. And they did. And they had to when they came to get food. All throughout the story, we see Joseph being a man of integrity and a man of fairness and a man that sought to please God rather than his own selfish motives. I think he's an amazing Bible character for us to study. He's a type of Christ. He's very symbolic and a foreshadowing of Christ in the New Testament because of the role that he plays. He even wept just like Jesus wept. He gave grace when the people he gave grace to didn't deserve it. You know, there's something about living by kingdom principles that allows God to change reality, allows God to create a different ending than what there would have been. If we operate out of our ego, we will get one kind of a story. But if we operate out of our heart, the heart that God gives us, and we choose to give forgiveness, we choose to view people the way God intended them to be, not necessarily the way they're behaving, we're going to get a different result. We're going to get a God result because we're getting ourselves out of the way. Now, it may seem that we're just being a wet noodle, that we're just letting people walk all over us. That's how it could have seemed to Joseph or somebody that was with him in prison even. But Joseph, he always tried to do the right thing. Even when it wasn't his fault, he trusted God, and God was with him, and God blessed him, and God changed things. I've had situations where somebody has done me wrong, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I'll just say I have forgiven them, and by forgiving them, later on in life, because I did forgive them, they were able to play a role in the story of somebody else that they would not have otherwise played. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a hero because I forgave them. There's been times where I've needed to be forgiven, and I've been forgiven, and it's allowed me to fulfill a role in the future. I'm just using this as an example. If we live by what Jesus taught us to live by, we will change the world. Because the Lord will use our choices to make the kingdom happen in our circumstances. He'll make the little picture that we have fit into his big picture. It's called redemption. He redeems the situation. Even if you've done something wrong, and you come to God and you put it on the altar, and then start doing the right thing, you're allowing grace and redemption to happen in your life. You don't have to be like Joseph and always do the right thing. Thank God we have him as an example. Because when you do the wrong thing, you have the ability to go to Jesus, who did the right thing for you and for me on the cross. And he died for our sins, and he forgave us past, present, and future. And because of that forgiveness, we have grace that can come in to our life at any time and at any moment. If you're going through a hard time right now, if you feel like you're in a prison with Joseph and it's dark and you did the right thing, or you're there because of no fault of your own, just know you're not forgotten. Just know that there's a rest of the story that will happen, and the Lord will redeem your situation, and he will bring life. Have a great week.